Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
What a thrilling day, right? To once again join with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven to celebrate the feast of the resurrection. The music, the hymns, the words, especially the words of that angel that this first Easter morning, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him. So when we say Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We're just joining our voices with angels, with the angel at the tomb. You see, when the Sabbath was passed, that is after sundown on Saturday, and by the time all the preparations had ended, the ladies arrived at that tomb early on Sunday morning. Mark tells us that it is Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, also called Clopas' wife, and Salome, this is Jesus' aunt, Mary's sister, and they had bought spices so that they might go and finish anointing the body of their dead friend and rabbi. You see, bodies were normally anointed with oil, then rinsed with water before burial. But because Jesus had died on Friday, just a few hours before the Sabbath began, it happening at sundown on that Friday night, probably around 6, this anointing had been postponed. On this third day, you might expect the body to be, well, a little smelly. But when one thinks about the situation where Jerusalem is 2,000 feet above sea level and is cool enough, especially in a tomb that had been sealed, it could have been approachable for these ladies. Yet little did the women know the amazing surprise that awaited them, that all their concerns with the buying of the spices and finally with the rolling away of the stone were unnecessary. As they reached the tomb, only to find not only had the stone been rolled away, but Jesus' body is no longer in the tomb. Now we have the luxury of knowing that these ladies could have avoided the unnecessary expense, and they and the disciples just simply remembered what Jesus taught. Right? Remember that at least 3 times Jesus had said, "See, we are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered and over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." Mark 10:33-34. Jesus had made it perfectly clear. He was going to suffer and die. And since all this had come to pass just as he said, why would anyone doubt the third part of his teaching? You know, the part about him rising from the dead on the third day that it just happens to be. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I tried to cut those out of the sermons this year, and I just can't do it. And I talked to the Bible class today, and they told me not to do it, and so I'm not skipping. Please don't get me wrong, though, when we're talking about the disciples and the ladies who were also his disciples. I wouldn't have done any better than they would have. Because death seems so real. It seems so final to us, doesn't it? Especially the death of a loved one. It can overshadow or completely block out and cause us to doubt the promises of the Word of God. Make us mad at God for what occurred. God's got big shoulders. You can be mad at him. He understands. Join in reading and praying some of the precatory psalms sometimes, and you'll find you're not the first and won't be the last. But you see, it's a little much for the earthly Adam to swallow. Our sinful nature just doesn't want to accept the promises of God, particularly when it comes to something like this that looks, death looks so natural and resurrection looks so unnatural. And yet death is unnatural. It was not part of the creation that was very good. It's the fall that brought this death. And while we can be grief-stricken, are confused and shocked and overwhelmed during the death of a loved one, we all know too well how this feels. At this point, even the simplest plans will have something missing. Look at our ladies this morning. Spices and oils to anoint? Check. Directions to the tomb? Those we have. Despite the heretics who kind of try to say that they went to the wrong tomb and that's why nobody was there. They don't even try, some of these people, to come up with an excuse. My personal favorite denial of the resurrection is that Jesus had a twin brother. I don't know if you heard that one. It makes me giggle a lot. He had a twin brother that hung around for 33 years in seclusion, apparently, as they had plotted this whole thing their entire life. And then after Jesus dies, he comes out of the tomb and says, I've risen. That's actually a theory that some theologian, I'm not going to say what I want to say, some theologian came up with and probably sold a few books and made a little bit of money over. You see, when they get to the tomb, everything's done except the big thing. How are we going to get to the body? Who's going to roll the stone away? That hits them last. Grief has that way of making you not think things through properly. All Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, wanted to do was lovingly and respectfully care for the body of their lifeless Savior, of their lifeless rabbi to them at this point, Jesus. They knew Jesus had died. They'd seen the water and the blood pour out of his side. Crucifying actually was one of the things that the Roman soldiers were quite gifted with. They even had different types of crosses they would crucify you on. You have the one like we have a picture of today, and then you have the towel one that has the bar across the top, and then St. Andrew was crucified on an X, right? Two beams crossed this way. Of course, if rumor's correct from church history, St. Peter decided to give them a fourth option by having himself crucified upside down. Because as according to church history, he didn't feel worthy to be killed in the same manner that Jesus was. Sounds like a Peter thing. But you see, they were really gifted. Everybody they crucified died. Every one of them, even Jesus. So when the women get to the tomb that first Easter, the women couldn't have been more surprised. Not only had the stone been rolled away, but Jesus' body isn't there. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, the angel proclaims. The angel's message had to be both confusing and comforting. But the fact remains, Jesus is not in the tomb. He is risen just as he said. And if the Christians, for whatever possible insane reason, might have tried to make this up on their fly, all the Romans and the Jews would have to do that were guarding his tomb is go, this is the tomb he was buried at. Here's the body. Right? It's crazy. How can you deny this historical fact that's attested to, not just in the scriptures, but in early historians, the Roman historians, Josephus, and we have Tacitus, and Pliny the Younger, and others who reference the fact that Jesus had, that they claim is that Jesus is risen from the dead, that the disciples are saying this. You see, often we act like these women that first Easter morning. We believe and love in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we act as if He's dead. Yet the empty tomb calls for the Christians to stop looking and start hearing. Hearing the good news that He is risen and He is not there. See the place where they laid Him. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Just checking. Now hearing with the organ of faith, our ears, our eyes need not be surprised when we see that Jesus is living and active still in His church, working through His means of grace, His word and His sacraments. This is why the church's message is one of law and gospel. As God uses His means of grace to remove those things that hinder us from the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. Just as He removed the stone blocking the empty tomb, God hasn't changed a bit. It started in the garden with the promise to deliver to Golgotha, where we who once were deceived at a tree are now delivered by a tree. The tree of the cross, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And this message of deliverance receives its amen this day at the empty tomb. This is where Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil is fully proclaimed. And so God continues to remove the stones that block our reception for the good news. Through baptism, where you and I have sin and death washed off us, as if we were being prepared for burial. But then, we rise in the resurrection of Jesus. Or in the Lord's Supper, we're in with and under the bread and wine is Christ's very body and blood that is given and shed for our forgiveness, distributed to us, to give us His blood to pump through our stony hearts to make them alive, and to give us His flesh that covers us so that when we come before the Father, He sees His Son's perfect works. This the pastor proclaims to you today, as Pastor Rafa had the joy of saying to you in the absolution, your sins are forgiven. There's only one thing better than your sins are forgiven, and that's Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Oddly enough, they connect together though. You see, Jesus is where He had promised to be on the third day, and that's not dead. Remember, the Son of Man, Jesus says, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill Him, and He will be raised on the third day. The same holds true today. Jesus is where He promises to be. He promises to be here with you, in His word and His sacraments. For He has promised to never leave you or forsake you. Even death couldn't keep Jesus from keeping His promises. This amazing news frees the Christian from trying to earn then their salvation, to being free now to serve God by serving their neighbors, not to earn something, but rather because they have everything. Jesus the Christ is our salvation and our life in an eternal. Sin, death, and the devil are swallowed up in Christ's victory. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
So now let us follow with the angel's direction and go tell His disciples and even His future disciples. For His message is the message of eternal life and eternal relief. Our Lord Jesus is alive. Death is conquered. St. Paul writes, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the message worth rejoicing over. Because Jesus lives, all who believe in His name will also live. This is the message of redemption. Jesus has said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me shall not perish, but have eternal life. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die." And then there's just simply the question left to answer. Do you believe this? Well, have you not heard? Christ is risen.
He
is risen indeed. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.